And I've been talking about the kingdom, and I want to share with you from that. It was my hope to just teach a little bit today. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about the kingdom and becoming a kingdom citizen. And so I want to share something, some more along those lines, and I want to talk a little bit today about becoming a kingdom giver. Everybody say a kingdom giver. Because something you have to remember now, that the kingdom works totally different from the world system. The world system says, get all you can and can all you get. And then the kingdom system says, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men. The kingdom says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watered shall be watered also. Is that what the kingdom says? The kingdom says it's more blessed to what? Give than to receive. The world system doesn't say that. So if we are supposed to be kingdom citizens, then we have to start operating like kingdom citizens and walking according to kingdom principles. It's no reason to walk according to the kingdom principle, which is the word of God, if you're not a kingdom citizen and you're not going to obey those kingdom laws. Those kingdom laws are put in place so that we can prosper on earth. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to share something with you there. Let's go to St. John chapter 3. Let's go to St. John chapter 3. You know where I'm going? That very, very familiar verse. St. John chapter 3, verse 16. Are you there? And the word of the Lord says, I'll just read it from the Bible just in case some of you like, how do you know it's there? Okay. The word of the Lord says, for God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten who? That whosoever believeth in him should not, but have everlasting. Okay. Go to Acts chapter 20. I quoted it, but I want you to see it for yourself, too. Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, for I have shown you all things, how that so labor intensive you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, who? Of the Lord Jesus. So Paul is quoting, at the latter part of this verse, he's quoting what Jesus said. He said, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to than to receive. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So we've got a picture so far of God giving his son. And then we have a picture of the son giving his life. And then we have Apostle Paul quoting Jesus saying it is more blessed to give than to receive. And I want to go just one more deeper. On the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. Acts 2. If we can go there quickly. Please forgive me. We're trying to get that sound.
Pastor got that little deep voice now. Acts chapter 2. Yeah, thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Can you hear me now? Can everybody hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. I got my preacher voice now. Somebody say, yeah. Acts chapter 2. Now, this is on the day of Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them clothed in tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, when you look at this, remember Jesus told his disciples, he says, I'm going away. But I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you the Comforter. And I taught that a while back. That means one just like me. So what does Jesus do? When he leaves, he sends the Holy Ghost. In essence, he sends himself in the personality of the Holy Ghost. So there again, we got him giving. So God gave the Son gave his life, and then the Son comes back and he gives us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. Now, why did I say all of this? I said all this, if we have the Spirit of God and we are Holy Ghost filled, then we should have the character of Christ. And if we got the character of Christ and he's a giver, then what should we be?
Givers.
We should be givers. So it is totally uncharacteristic for a believer not to be a giver.
Amen.
It goes against Scripture.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
So that's our foundation. That's where I want to work from there. That God is calling us to become kingdom givers. If you're not a giver, you need to check yourself. You know, I'm wondering about you. Either you're really not saved or you're not living according to kingdom laws. Because if you're living according to kingdom laws and you're a kingdom citizen, you are supposed to be a giver. That's your nature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Now, before I was in Christ, yeah, I wasn't a giver. You know, I kept what I could. I took from people. Can you still hear me? I took from people, I wasn't going to give you too much anything. But when I got in Christ, I had no problem giving, had no problem sharing. So that word give from the Greek, it's the word didomai, which means to give something to someone of one's own accord or to bestow a gift, which means as a giver, it is not anything that you're being pressed to do. Nobody is making you do it. You do it by your own volition. You want to give because giving is who you are. That's a part of my makeup. That's a part of my character. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Son gave his life and then he gave us the Holy Ghost. I am a giver. I'm a giver. I may not be able to give what you give, but God ain't into that anyway. But I'm still a giver. And nobody has to beg me. Nobody has to make me. Nobody has to push me, coerce me. I just want to give.
Yes.
What's the song like to say? Giving is just, praise is just what I do. Giving is just what I do.
Yes.
Come on, I can't get no help right now.
Yes.
It should be in our nature. Giving is just what we do.
Yes.
Just what we do. You ever ran across people and some people, they just give. They just get, they're always giving. No problem, they always giving, helping in some way. And I'm not always talking monetary. But that, you know that if there's a need, that person's going to show up and they're going to give. That's the nature of a believer. That's the way we should be. So we should be givers. Now, I said all of this to say this part here. That's just my introduction. Here's where we get to. There's an old statistic, and it's still valid today. In fact, it's left today. But I'm just using this, but it's still valid. The statistics say that 20% of the people in most local churches do 80% of the giving. 20%. Now, don't shout me down now. Don't nobody stand up and start running now. But that's the statistic. And it's actually less than that today. 20% of the people do most of the giving in most local churches. This is in all areas of church. This means when it comes to volunteer ministry, that means parking lot and security and, working in the nursery and outreach ministry, music ministry, drama, whatever ministry is in most local churches, only 20% of the people are willing to give their time, talent, and skill to the vision that God has placed in that house. Now, here's what I believe. When God establishes a local church, he gives a vision. And where there is provision, at least that's what we were taught, where there's a vision, there always will be provision. Now, who's the provision?
We are.
Come on, look at yourself. I am. Yeah, we're the provision. So if God sends you to a local house, he doesn't just send you there because you like the choir, you like the praise team, you like the preaching or the teaching. All that's good, don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, he's really sending you there because you have a skill set that particular house needs for that vision. And if you don't use your skill set, it's going to slow down the process of fulfilling the vision.
Oh, can I just teach this a little bit? Because many times what we do, we always come in and we are looking to always be fed. And do we need the word? Yes, we do. But at the end of the day, it should be reciprocal. As freely you receive, freely you come in and what? Get refilled so that you can continue to do what God has given you the skill set to do. But unfortunately, in most local churches, only 20% of the people get that revelation. Now, we say we're kingdom citizens. But if you're truly a kingdom citizen, then you should be working. Now, remember I shared with you a couple of weeks ago, Jesus said this. He said to the disciples, he says, the harvest truly is what? Plenteous, but the what? The laborers are few. He said, the problem is it's not the harvest. There's a great work that's out there. But the laborers, we don't have enough people who are willing to work. So if this vision, and most of you know the vision, the PSP, preach, serve, and what? And provide. If we are going to see this thing happen, guess what? More than 20% of us are going to have to come on board. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to work. It's time to work. It's time to work. And what has happened is we have given more attention to our own stuff and what we want to do more than the house of God. And God says, because remember my foundation scripture was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the what? Seek ye first the kingdom. He's still saying the same thing. The priority for the house of God is the kingdom. The priority for the children of God should be the kingdom. Then he says what? And all these other things shall what? Be added unto you. We are so caught up trying to make stuff happen for ourselves when God says, if you seek the kingdom and you make sure my house is taken care of, I'll make sure your stuff is taken care of. Don't you spend all your time trying to take care of your stuff and my stuff goes lacking. It's backwards. Seek ye first the kingdom. That's why he taught us that. Now, let's go to Haggai. I want to share something with you. How Old Testament Israel got in trouble because they had their priorities out of whack. If you go to Haggai, that's way back in the back there. And it's in chapter 1. And see, God rebuked Zerubbabel. He was the governor of Judah, and Joshua was the high priest. And the children of Israel, he rebuked them for the procrastination in rebuilding the temple. The temple had been destroyed when the Babylonian nation came in and destroyed all of Israel, all of Jerusalem there. And so when they came back from captivity, God said, rebuild my temple. And the people procrastinated because not only was the temple in ruins, but their houses were in ruins, their fields were in ruins. And instead of them now seeking the kingdom first, they said, well, I'm going to be on my house and get my fields together first, and then I might take care of the temple. God says, ho, you got this backwards now. Have I not been the one that's been blessing you? How are you going to take care of your stuff before my stuff? If you take care of mine, I'm going to make sure you're taken care of. Because don't forget now, Psalms 24 says, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, the world and them that what? Dwell therein. So he says, everything belongs to me. So can I tell somebody this? God already knows what our needs are.
Yes, he does.
You know what I mean? He already knows. He knows what you need. He knows you need a roof over your head. But God, but I got to take care of mine. And God says, hey, but I need you here. I need the gift that I anointed you with. But God, I got to go over here and I got to work. I know you need some more money. But I want you to use this gift that I've anointed you with. I'll take care of that. Amen. What we do, we run over here trying to take care of what God can already take care of. Let me go deeper. He's already given you everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. There's no need that God has not already supplied. Okay, are you there? So God took offense when the people were working on rebuilding their houses and restoring their fields. So listen to what God says. In the second year of Darius the king in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak. That's a good one. Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Listen to what the people say. It ain't time to rebuild the house of the Lord. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? He's saying, is it time for you to build your house, and my house lie waste? You're doing your structure, but my structure's in ruin. Then he says, now therefore, thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your what? Your ways. You have sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You are clothed, but you are not warm. He that earns wage, and puts it into a bag with holes. Oh, do you get that? He says, you working hard by the sweat of your brow. And yeah, you getting the money, but you have nothing to show for it. He's upset because they fail to give his house priority. Is God opposed to you making money? No. Is he opposed to you being wealthy? No. What his problem is when you put that priority above what he's called you to do. Okay, can I work it here? Okay. Thus said the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build what? The house. And I will take pleasure in it and I will be glorified, said the Lord of hosts. In other words, make building my house a priority. Then verse 9 says, you look for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. He said, yeah, you kept on making it, but as soon as you made it, soon as you got it, okay, your starter went out. Then you fixed your starter and the transmission went out. Oh, come on, somebody. And just as soon as you got that fixed, you know, your HVAC unit went out. Then when you got that fixed, everything else, come on, somebody. It just one after another. Now, I'm not saying that just because it happens to you every now and then that you're on the wrong road, but I am saying that some of you know that when you're not doing what God has called you to do and you are not giving what God has called you to do, I mean, you're working hard, but you have nothing to show for it. Has anybody ever got frustrated? You ain't got to tell me, but you just got frustrated and said, Lord, where's all the money going? And what's going on, Lord? And God says, you know what's going on. Check yourself. You know what you're doing or not doing. Look at verse 11. Or verse 10, he said, therefore the heavens over you are stayed. In other words, they are shut up from the dew, and the earth is stayed or shut from its fruit. In other words, I am not going to allow you to get the kind of harvest that you should get until you get it right. See, we say God is so loving, God, but God is loving, but God is just. And just says that when he tells us to do something and we don't do it, God says, okay. I'm going to show you now. See, you can't walk in the favor of God in disobedience. Amen. You know, if God tells you to go up the street and I want you to minister to somebody, you say, well, God, I ain't got time right now. Don't you know I'm going to be late for work? God already knew you're going to be. You've been late for work the last month and you ain't said nothing. Now, all of a sudden, God tells you, go up and you got to, you know, you ain't had a problem being late for work. You see, we just come up with all these excuses. And we make it as though working for God is optional. Using our gifts and talents is optional. If I have the time, if it's convenient, the word out there, the buzzword now, it's got to be convenient. Because if it's not convenient, man, you can forget it. You can forget it. I can tell you today. Let's see, who's playing? Washington and Dallas plays. Are they at FedEx Field? They're at FedEx Field. Check out the churches today. Check out the churches today. Whole lot of people are at FedEx Field. Now, I'm not saying you're going to hell if you're at FedEx Field. But what I am saying, many times our priorities are kind of out of whack. Now, if you are faithful and you decide to miss a Sunday or two, because you go, hey, I ain't got no problem in that. God, you and God still good. But you can't just say, you know, I ain't coming, you know, for the whole season. I'll see you when I get back. I remember I used to talk to Deacon in training. Oh, I didn't see you back there. He's like, Pastor, you talking about me. He said, Pastor, you talking about me. That's my boy, though. But he said, Pastor, I'm just telling you straight up now. You know, football season going on. You probably not going to see me. You know, and you know, he was honest, you know. You know, he was always honest. He let me know, you know, hey, Pastor, you know, a couple of months, I'll be back right in thinking, you know. Hey, it's all good. But I thank God kept working on him, and, you know, he's here, going through the minister development training, you know, getting to get ordained as a deacon. So God will do a work on you. But at the end of the day, we really do have to put our priorities in order. And sometimes they're out of whack. Okay, now hear what verse 11 says. And I call for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains, upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon... My gracious. He said, everything that you put your hand on, he says, I'm drying it up. And upon that which the ground brings forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of your hands. In other words, I don't care what you're trying to do, what new business you're trying to open. He says, if you don't take care of mine and make mine a priority, he said, I'm going to dry it up. It ain't going to prosper. Now, I know y'all don't want to hear that, but this is the word of the Lord. And what, why is this necessary to say? Because God doesn't want his people toiling. He says, I came that you might have life and that more abundantly. We shouldn't be toiling like that when we're walking with God. We're toiling and working on the sweat of our brow and going through all these changes and ups and downs because we're not walking according to kingdom principles. Amen. When you do it God's way, God will bless your life. Amen. Now, I'm not preaching something everybody's going to be a millionaire kind of. That's not what I'm saying. But he will bless your life. Amen. He'll cause people to just bless your life. Amen. If we do it God's way. We're too caught up trying to do it the world's way. So, and when we get caught up doing it the world's way, we fail to do what God has called us to do in the house. Somebody says, it's not out there, it's in the house. It's in the house. So in other words, all of the people were trying to accomplish for themselves their own personal benefit. And God would not allow it to prosper because they failed to make building God's house a priority over rebuilding their own house. At the end of the day, that's what he's saying. He said, I do not like that. I take offense to that. Get this thing right. And he said, if you get it right, he'll bless your life. So they were using all of their time and talent. What? He brought them out of captivity. He brought them back to the homeland. And he said, rebuild the temple. And they said, nah, you got time to do that. I'm going to rebuild my thing. I'm going to work on my thing. And when, you know, if I got time, I might get to you, God. You know, if I got time, but don't hold me to that, you know, because it's hard to pull on people now, you know, can I get you to help in this ministry? Well, you know, how long is it going to take? But you don't say that. You don't say that to your supervisor. You know what? I need you to work here for a couple of hours more each week. And you say, OK, I will. You know what? You get on the phone. You say, you know what? I'm going to have to work later, honey. So we're going to have to change this and let the babysitter know that we're going to have to pick up Johnny a little bit later. You make all these arrangements. You don't tell them that. The only people we give an excuse to is God. We'll make excuses in the house of God now. I'm not trying to put anybody on the guilt trip. I'm just telling you the word of the Lord. I really am. Because we, as the people of God, looking at local churches throughout the nation, we got to get this together because there are souls that are out there hurting. There are people that are in need, and we have what they need. And we can't minister to people if we don't reverence the house of God and we don't make kingdom's work a priority. This vision will not be fulfilled if you, the people of God, and me, the pastor, we don't put our hands to the plow. That's why Jesus said, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Now, you telling me God ain't spoke to you at all? I'm just asking. You know what the young people, I'm just saying. He's not spoke to you at all. He's not told you what your gift was, and he needed your help. I'm just saying. And somebody say amen. Amen. So they were using their gifts and talents that God gave them for their own personal benefit. And so many times what we do, we fail to reciprocate a giving spirit like God gave us. We don't reciprocate. Let me tell you something. When God gives you life, you wake up every morning. You know what? That's a gift. Come on, somebody. When he gives you new mercies every day, that's a what? That's the gift. When he protects you, the old folks say, from seen and unseen danger, that's a what? That's a gift. Come on. When he gave you that promotion, that's a gift from God. Come on, somebody. When he supplied all of your needs and you didn't have two brown nickels to rub together, but you kept on gaining weight. Come on, somebody. You get the message, don't you? You get the message, don't you? Somebody say, that's a gift. So freely you receive, freely you give. Let's not let it be said going into 2017 that we are no longer going to use our gift. And if you're getting uncomfortable, I want you to feel uncomfortable. Because it's designed to make you feel uncomfortable. Because when you get uncomfortable, you'll start getting up using what God has anointed you to do. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Amen. Let's go. Let me say this, and then I'll transition to this next part here. We've been in ministry for 20 years, and we just celebrated 20 years of ministry in May. Amen. Come on, give God a praise for that. And we've been blessed to accomplish a lot of different things. But there's so much more that God wants us to do. And we were blessed to accomplish quite a few things with a few people. But I'm asking myself, what would happen if that 20% now became 80%, now became 100%? What would we accomplish? There was a prophecy that came to me 2 weeks ago. I shared it, I think, on last Sunday, and I want to just say it again. But it had been spoken. It was just a confirmation of what had already been spoken at least 3 to 4 times to me, starting years ago when co-pastor had a dream about the same thing. And so Apostle Karen Pathea calls me up right here 2 weeks ago on Tuesday because they're using the church for their annual revival worship world. She said, Pastor Harris, the Lord said. And when you say the Lord said, that's serious. That the Lord said that this house is not going to be big enough for what he's about to send. And that you guys won't be in here. I see you in another place. I see you with building plans in your hand. And God's going to fill this place up. Amen. That Amen. Was the word of the Lord. So I wondered why I was never released to really share what I'm sharing with you now until now. It's because it wasn't time. But we're in a season now. There's such a momentum and undercurrent that's going on in this house now. It's going to break forth. And God's going to do what he says. But you know what? He's sending this word to prepare us all hands on deck. If you got a gift, if you got a talent, get yourself connected to some kind of ministry in the house. Use what God has given you. But you know, mine is a little bit different. That's okay. Maybe we're going to need that. Put yourself out there. Use your gift. And sometimes it means you go into an area where you don't necessarily want to work, but you see there's a need, so you stay there for a moment until you get into the place, come on, that you're really anointed for. You do it in corporate America all the time. They send you in different areas. Hey, Tom, can I get you to come over here right now? I know this in your area, but we need some help. We short of manpower right now. Could you just stay here for 6 months? And, you know, we're going to hire some other people. But right now, you know, we're still trying to find a candidate that's qualified to do this. But until, would you work for me? What do you say? Okay. Okay, and on top of that, if you do that, I'm going to make sure that we compensate you. No problem. Got it. Feel you. You know, no problem. So come on. Sometimes you do have to just fill in until. Yeah.
Amen.
And can I get one amen?
Amen.
Jesus says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Okay? So that's the 20% when we look at just physical work. But there's also, this rule is also applicable in our giving. It is said, and it's really less now, but I'm just using this figure. Only 20% of the people in most local churches give consistent. Somebody say consistent. Because that's the word. That's the word. Consistent financial support to the local church. This means only 20% of the people in most local churches give tithes and offering. I know I'm in a bad place now. Yeah, y'all was amen with me a little bit, but now it's going to probably get, you know. Because, you know, you can't mess with people and money. Money is like, go, David, the devil is a liar. I rebuke that spirit. You are not getting anything. No. Same person. Just, thank you, Lord. The devil. No. You ain't coming up in here. I want to ask you something. Is that the spirit of Christ? God is never trying to take anything from. In fact, he don't need it. He says the silver and the gold belongs to me. He ain't trying to do. He needs it for the kingdom. Amen. To advance the kingdom. Amen. Now, let me give you something, and then I'll get more into that. Let's put this in perspective, this 20%. I want to work this a little bit. Okay. What this means is, if you have a 200-member church, only 20% of the people are actually giving their tithes and offerings consistently. So remember that I talked about time, talents. It's not only just time, talents, but it's time, talents, tithes, and offerings. Only 20%. Period. That means now, out of the 20 members, only 40 of the members are actually kingdom givers. Okay, let's go a little bit deeper. If you have a 400-member church, that means only 80 members are actually kingdom givers. If you're looking at 20% rule. See, y'all think, oh, that's a bigger church. Oh, no. 20% rule. I have talked to Bishop. They have over 6,000 weekly attendees. It's a little less now because, you know, folk ain't coming to church like they used to. I'm just telling you. I've talked to a whole lot of pastors, small, big, large, mega. It's the same thing. You look at it and say, you know, when you span the TV camera now, they ain't spanning all the way in the back and up in there. They don't do that no more. I'm just being honest. I talked to some bishops. They said, no, we don't go all up in there. There ain't nobody up there. We keep it right down here. You think it's full, but it ain't. Everybody's dealing with the same thing. Okay, so you got 400-member church. Only 80 of the members are actually giving. 320 people are sitting on the sideline. I'm talking consistent. Because everybody, when most of the time when they come in, they give a little something. But I'm talking about consistent. Giving an actual tithe. Giving an offering that God told you to give. Not what you want to give, what he asked of you to give. Because let me tell you something. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I'm going to just say this now. If God tells you to give something, can I tell you something? He already knows what you have or don't have. You can't. God will never ask us to give what we don't have. What he asks you, he tells you to give that, and it means that you got to reallocate that. But God, don't you know I got to eat next week? I already know you got to eat next week. That's why I'm asking you to sow this so that I can bless your life. God. He gives seed to the sower and he multiplies the seed that's sown. You got to work according to biblical principles. The world says you don't have anything, so keep that little bit that you have. God says you ain't going to ever have anything if you keep working like that. Give and it shall be given unto you. Oh, God. So what happens is we walk around broke, busted, and disgusted all the time, and we keep holding the seed that God says, when you sow it, I can bless it. I can't bless what you don't sow. And I'm not talking about anything that I don't know of. I know this personally. I know it personally. Sowing when I really don't really have it. And when I say don't have it, you got it, but it's allocated for something over here. And then the Holy Ghost said, give that 100. anybody ever had that one? You did a double take like, you know the Holy Ghost. Isn't it strange you can discern the voice of God? Oh, God gave me a word for you. Then as soon as he give you a word about giving. You said 20. No, I said 100. 25? No, 100. Did you say 50? No, 100. Like that little checkout that you submitted, you know. And you got to learn how to trust God. I've been there. Trust me. I can teach this. I can teach this blindfolded. I can teach it because I have been through that. But I've seen the hand of God move. So I'm not. That's why I was a little leery about teaching on finance, because come on, let's deal with the elephant in the room. You see these pastors and you see all this negative stuff that has happened. Come on, somebody. Let's just deal with the elephant in the room. And you're like, there you go, talking about money, trying to get some. What he driving? A Maybach. And he want me to give him some money. Yeah. Where he live? Mm-hmm. And he want me to, you know. You follow me? I have no problem with the man and woman of God being blessed or your lives being blessed. But when we don't, when we misuse the money that God brings into the kingdom, God's going to judge that man or that woman. Trust when I say what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's not for me to judge. It's not for you. God will deal with his man or woman. He says, don't touch my anointing. Do my prophet no harm. I'm going to deal with him. David found that out. Nobody can mess with David. But he sends Nathan to say, let's deal with that now. You ain't getting away. You don't get away. So nobody gets away. Nobody gets away. So, yeah, unfortunately, we got a blackout. But I will say this. Every pastor and everybody is not a crook. There are some people that's trying to do what's right. And I'm not boasting in any way, but I'm trying to do what's right. Trust me. When we say, hey, give for this, and we said this renovation, all that money went for this renovation. You saw the next week, you came in here, everything was different. So, and I believe, I'm all ahead of myself, but it's coming. I believe this. When God establishes a local church, he gives a vision, okay? It is not for the world to fund the kingdom. Now, let me, and I'm going to give it a caveat on that, okay? Does he use the world? Yes. Can he use government funds? Yes, he can. But at the end of the day, if the government turns their back and say, okay, the only way I'm going to give you the money, you got to let same-sex marriage go on and all of that. And we say, no, well, I'm going to stop your funding. What you going to do then? So you got to be careful with the enemy. Yeah, he'll help you a little bit, and God will use him in some things. But trust me, if things ain't going right, they cut you off. So what does God say? He says, I have given people, kingdom citizens, to fund the work. Because, you know, most of the world, they don't believe in tithe. They don't believe in offerings. And, you know, they give you their dollar and, you know, keep it moving and think that church just runs on by itself. Can I help everybody out right now? Can I help everybody out? You're right, brother. You said, think the church just runs on grace. God's grace is enough. But can I help everybody out? The same way you got to pay your BG&E or Pepco, church got paid in. Okay? Almost everything that we do ministry-wise requires some kind of financial support. Some kind. When we help kids back to school supply, guess what? Church really didn't have it like we normally had it because things have really been kind of tight. But you know what? Thank God for people who were willing to sow and give, and we're able to bless somebody. That it took money. Anything we do, it will take some kind of money. When you come in here and you ain't sweating like a pig, you know, and you ain't hot and burning up, it's because we got air conditioning. You know what? It costs every month. Ask Sister Jackie, our CFO. She got to pay the bill. Everybody, and when you come in the wintertime, you ain't trying to come in here with no coat on and keep it on because it's so cold. You got some heat. Guess what? That cost. Electric bill pretty high, too, in the wintertime, particularly if you got, you know, really cold weather for long periods of time. This can get pretty expensive, too. But thank God, we had no problem when we say, you know what, guys, sorry, couldn't pay the bill this month. So can you still come to church and bring your space heater? And we'll just kumbaya together and keep your coat on and put your long johns on. And we just going to praise God. Some of y'all might do that. But the majority of y'all say, Pastor, I'll see you when the heat gets on. You feel me? So it's your tithes, it's your offerings. This is how the house of God and the vision. How are we going to become an international ministry and touch lives all the way in the continent of Africa? Can't do it without any funding. You know, it takes money to even fly over there. Come on, somebody. Okay, let me get back to my point here. Okay, so if you're talking about even an 800-member church, the 20% rule applies that only 160 members are actually givers. That's 640 people that are on the sideline. Take it up. 1,600-member church, 20% rule. That means only 320 members are actually givers. That means 1,280 people are on the sideline. Last one. 3,200-member church, mega. Somebody say mega. Oh, they got enough. 20% rule still applies. Only 640 members are actually givers. That means 2,560 people are coming in inconsistently giving. What am I saying? Whether you're small, large, or mega, the 20% rule still applies. And I say to you again, if you're struggling to pay tithes and give offerings, and you are saved and spirit-filled, you're acting out of character. Because God is a giver. He's never trying to take anything from you. He's always trying to get something to us. And as believers, we have to renew our minds and start walking according to biblical principles. Not the world's way of doing things, but what does the Bible say do? I'm going to get into this probably next week, because you've got people that say, well, tithing is Old Testament, and you know. I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to teach some of that next week, but I'm going to say this part to that, okay? I've been saved for 33 years. I've tithed for 33 years. I'm going to tell you like now, my life is still okay. I've been blessed. Amen. Every time I decided, or if I even thought about, I ain't going to do that. Holy Spirit just convicts me. I just couldn't bring myself. I really couldn't. So if it's wrong and it's not a part, then I guess I've been wrong the whole time. But when I read the word, I don't see. In fact, when you get a New Testament, it's really given even more than that, to be honest. It really is. But, you know, we'll get more into that. Okay. But when I look at giving, particularly when you talk about money, because that's always a very touchy subject with everybody. You know why? Because Jesus said it like this. He says, for where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart will be. See, many times your giving or lack of giving determines the degree of love that you have for something or someone or even God. Oh, yes, it is. Okay, sisters, let's see. Let me use this example. Okay. Sisters, you got a birthday. Your birthday is Friday. Okay, just use it. Your birthday is Friday. Okay. Your husband or your boo say they're going to take you out. Or maybe it's your anniversary. It's Friday. Whatever. Take one of them. Okay. But it's a special day, a birthday, anniversary. That's a special day for you sisters. Oh, boo gonna take me out. You all up on the phone all week long. Yeah, boo gonna take me out. Yeah, my husband gonna take me somewhere special. He told me, he said he gonna take me somewhere special. And all you excited, you get all dressed up, got your little, you know, your little 6-inch heels on, and you just marching around, and you got your dress on, and you doing your thing. And he shows up, you know, opens the door for you, and everything's good, and you just all smile on the inside. Oh, where he going to take me? Oh, God. And you got all these different restaurants in your mind. Oh, yeah, he probably going to be a little candlelight in the corner over there. Yeah, oh, yeah, that boy good anyway, you know. And then here we go. We pull up. And, you know, you got your eyes closed most of the time because you want to kind of be surprised. And so he says, baby, what you got? Open your eyes. And you open your eyes and you look up, Golden Arches. Somebody just said, You look up and you see the Golden Arches, McDonald's. Now, all of a sudden, I'm looking at the sister's face right now. All of y'all are like, no, he didn't. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with McDonald's. But the problem is when there's I think I did that, brother. I hit it. But when there's something, when there is a special occasion, you know, your birthday, because you know y'all sisters, I found out, you don't celebrate just one day. Sometimes y'all do the whole week. Some of y'all do the whole month. Look at the sisters. They'll be like, oh, my birthday's still going on. I thought your birthday was the first of the month. It's the first through the 31st. All month long, they just celebrate. Can the brother say amen? And you're like, baby, I thought you, I just, no, it's still my birthday. You ever heard that? It's your birthday, it's your birthday. Like, okay, baby, but I thought, no, this is a whole month. So you pull up to McDonald's, and all of a sudden, that expectation, that smile on the inside, that, oh, it's going to be a romantic, goes from, have you lost your mind? What you doing? Why is that a problem? Because you was expecting, come on, one of those upscale, 5-star restaurants, you know, with the candle lights and, you know, all of the trimmings, and he pulls up at McDonald's. Now, if that's all he can do, that's different. But you already know your boo and your man, he got a little something. He can do better. But he didn't do better. He gave you a McDonald's experience when he could have given you, come on somebody. he could have gave you a 5-star experience. So your mind is, do you really love me? Because if you love me, come on sisters, will y'all help me out? Y'all equate love on what you do. Show me you love me. And God says, if you love me, show me. And you come up here throwing that 50 cents in the plate while you got $1,000 on the other pocket or balled up dollar bill, sweat it all up and you just, and then you fold it all up so nobody can see you like you done did something. You feel me? God, see, and you say you love me? No. The way I have blessed your life, and that's what you're going to give me, a McDonald's experience? That's what we do. That's what we do. Now, please hear me. I'm not giving any negative activity to McDonald's. I love McDonald's. I'm just saying, I can't take co-pastor to McDonald's on an anniversary. That just ain't going to happen. Thank you, Minister Gray. You know, that's just not going to happen. You know, I probably won't even be pastor anymore. I pull up. No, she'll put me on Facebook. She'll just put me right out there. Like, this is what your pastor did. And the sister say, Lord, I thought pastor was better than that. Y'all, sister be on the phone. Honey, could you get pastor some money? He needs some help. Because he can do better than that. He can do better than that. You feel me? So we, you know, it has much to do with our love. Because when we really love somebody, we're going to give them our best. Amen. We're going to give them our best. Amen. Let me deal with this just a little bit. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. I've got a few minutes and I'm going to deal with that and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to just touch it a little bit. Somebody say, I'm going to just touch it a little bit. Yeah, because I can't have you too upset at me before you leave, because you might not come back next Sunday. So I want you to come back. Because I want you to get the revelation. Because where God is going to take this church, you know what? We all have to be on board. From working physically to giving all of that. And imagine what will happen when we all get together and we say, we're going to give. You know what? If you look back at Acts chapter 2, and I've read that before. When those people became disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they were so sold out and they were so kingdom-minded until the Bible said that they sold all of their possessions, brought the proceeds, laid them at the apostles' feet so that there would be no needs for anybody. Anybody had a need, they would take care of it. I am not advocating you sell everything you have, bring it to. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, if we did it together, there should not be a need in the house of God. Why is it we can't even get a HVAC unit on the other side. It's like $8,000. We're around about 70, 73, 74. I'm just rounding off. Okay. I believe that if we all got together, we could do that. We took up some money, but here's the reality. I'm going to give you the truth. Since Jack is here, give you the truth. We had to use that money because things got so, I mean, you saw the seed. It was a little thin in here. You know, if it's thin, guess what? No finance. You know? And I'm never, you don't hear me talking from the pulpit much about, hey, I need you to give more. I need you. I don't do that. That's really not me. You know what I mean? I just trust God that the Holy Spirit would teach. But I'm here to teach this now so that we all can prosper on what God has called us to do. You know, so in the book of Acts, there was no need. There were no needs. Everybody was taken care of. You know, so ministry that needed to be done, it was taken care of. That's just my belief. I believe that when God gives a vision, there's always provision, and he sends the people. And the people have to get the revelation to say, hey, I'm going to do this. Okay? Now, let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Because not only is our financial giving, it reflects our love for God, but it's also a form of our worship to God. Because when we give our tithes and offerings to the house of God, in return, what does he do? He blesses us. And it's just not finance, because sometimes we look like, well, I get my tithe. I'm looking for something, God. It doesn't necessarily come back in material things all the time. Sometimes it's joy. It's peace. It's a protection. You don't know. That bullet was about to get your son, and God stayed in the hand of the enemy. You'll just be surprised. When we walk in obedience to God in our giving in any aspect, we're walking under the favor of God. We're walking under open heaven, and God said, no, you can't touch that. This is covered. This is covered. So you can't look at this like, I gave, I'm going to receive from that. Not all the time. It doesn't work like that all the time. But he will bless your life. When there's a need, God will supply that. Okay, so let's look at this. Let's look at this. Notice what God says to Israel through the prophet Malachi regarding their lack of financial giving to his house. This is what he says in Malachi chapter 3, that book that we don't really like to go to. Okay, here it is. Verse 7. He says, even from the days of your father, you are gone away from my ordinance and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, said the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Rob. He used the word rob. Come on. That's a strong word, rob. Rob means to take something from someone that doesn't belong to you. And it's really, you're right, co-pastors, by force. Give it to me. This belongs to me. But this is yours. But I take it. And God says, you have robbed me. You've robbed me. This doesn't belong to you. It belongs to me. He says, you've robbed me. And they, listen to what? But ye say, wherein have we robbed you? You say, but God, how did I rob you? What? What did I do? He says, let me tell you what you did. You robbed me in tithes and offering. See, sometimes we just think he's talking about the tithe. No. He says tithes and offering. He says, you have kept the tenth part. That first part that you're supposed to give me, you kept it. And not only did you do that, you robbed me in offerings. Because I told you to give 25 and you gave a 5. And I ain't got, let's see, I got two amens, one hallelujah, and everybody else like, You know when I always say this? Because if we say we listen to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is guiding and leading my life, then why do we stop listening to him when it comes to finance? Like God is just stupid. You don't know nothing about money. I know how to do it, man. God, you stay on the sideline with money. I got this. No, God knows how to count. He must, because he said, I want a tenth. He says, you have robbed me. Okay? Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you an example. And then I'll come back to this again. Okay. Here's the way this works. Okay. He says, what does this look like?
That's cash.
I just say that's a $100 bill. Okay. He says, what I want you to do, I want you to give me the tenth part from this. I'm going to bless you. I'm your source, not the bank, not your job. I'm your source. You got to get that too. You got to get this kingdom mindset. If the job is your source, then if the job goes belly up, your little company goes belly up, they start shutting down, and they're your source, guess what? You are dried up. You don't have anything because that's your source. The job is never your source. It is a conduit to get money to you.
Amen.
So the source is always God. He uses people. He uses corporations. He uses jobs, employers to bless you.
Amen.
So that you can have a blessed life. So he says, out of every 100 that comes into your hand, I want the tenth part. I want the first of that. That's $10. Okay? So when you get this, 10 should be leaving your hand. That's him. He says, you know what he says? He says, what you did is you kept this and that. He said, you robbed me because you kept it. That's what he said. Then he says here, he says, ye are cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole what? Nation. Then he says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat. You understand? That there may be financial provisions in the house so that my house is taken care of. And when I'm talking about the house, I'm talking about the local church and I'm talking about ministries. Because that's why you have a church established, to do ministry, to help people, to evangelize, to get people saved. And when you get people saved, guess what? Some people need addiction counseling. Some people need food. There's a plethora of things that people need. You don't just pull people in, they get saved, and that's it. There's a whole lot that goes on there. There's educational. There's so many different facets of ministry that churches can get into, and it depends on what you're called to do. So he said that there be meat in my house. Then he says, and prove me now. God himself says, prove me. If I would not open the windows of what?
Heaven.
He says, I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And what does he say? He says that you will not even have room enough to receive. He says, I won't just drop it. I'll pour it out. And it'll just keep on coming. And you won't even have room enough to handle it. So much will be coming at you. So much favor, so much peace, so much joy. So much prosperity will be coming your way. You can be blessed in the field and blessed in the city. Let me do it like this. You can be blessed in the hood and blessed in the suburbs. Come on, somebody. I don't care where you are, wherever you live, God says, I'll bless your life. He says, and you won't even have room enough to receive it. That's what God is saying. Okay? Let me use this last scenario with you, and then I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go because I still got a lot to cover, but let's deal with this. Okay. This is what we're dealing with. Let me just use somebody, anybody. Come here, Diggity K, right quick. Let's do this. This is what you got to understand. In Leviticus, the Bible said the tithe is holy. What does that mean, holy? It means that it's set aside, it's consecrated unto God. In other words, you don't touch that. Why don't you touch it? Because it is an act of worship. It is an act of faith unto God, saying that, God, you are my source. I trust you that you are going to provide for me. So I'm not going to keep what belongs to you. I'm going to worship you with that. And the more I worship you with that, the more you're going to bless my life. Because remember, he says, if you bring the tithes and offer, he says, I open the windows of heaven. When he opens the windows, that means that he showers down what you need. So if he doesn't send rain, I don't care how much you sow. Seed can't grow without rain. So if he closed the heavens on you because you hold back, you know, in other words, you keep the tithe, but you give a little offering. You say, good God, I gave something. He said, yeah, but what about the tenth part? You know, the thing that's dear. He challenges us because this becomes a heart thing to us. That's why people struggle in that tithe, because it's a heart thing. You know, where a man's treasure is, that's where your heart. That's why you cannot fall in love with money. The Bible says it's not he says it is the love of money becomes the root of all evil. Not money, the love of it. That when I have become greedy, possessive, I won't let it go. That's all I'm all I'm after. What you after? I'm after making some money. I'm trying to make some money. You're in trouble. This is what God says. Okay. The tenth part, it's on your gross. Not your net, your gross. Now, I know I'm in deeper water now. I wasn't even going to mess with that, but Holy Ghost, just teach it all. Teach it all. So if you're going to leave me and you ain't going to like me, you might as well get it all now. I'll see who comes back next Sunday. But it's the first part, okay? Here it is, okay? That's 100. That's 200. 300. That's 400. That's 5. That's 600. 700, 800, 900, that's $1,000. He makes $1,000 a week. Oops, Uncle Sam. Can I tell you something? Uncle, God trusts you and Uncle Sam don't. Uncle Sam doesn't trust you enough. He says, before you get it, I'm going to get mine, because I don't trust you to pay me. God says, I want you to operate in obedience and faith. I ain't going to force you. I'm going to see if you're going to worship me and trust me enough to release it when it gets in your hand. Uncle Sam said, I ain't God. I don't trust you. I know what your propensity is. You will steal and rob. I'm going to take mine right now. He said, Elders, he said, you take more, you're right. But for easy math's sake, I'm just doing 100. So, now, you made 1,000. That was your gross. He takes 100. That's your taxes. But your gross is 1,000. So God says, on the 10th, the first part, I want you to sow on the first part. That's the 10th. I want a 10th of that. So what does he have to do? On 1,000, he's got to give 100. So he doesn't tithe on 900. Because that would have been $90. He tithes on the 1,000. That's $100. Can I tell some of y'all are fighting God? Okay, good God. I got to give you another $10. I got to give you another $50. All of it belongs to him. If you honor God with that. And you know why I'm teaching that? Because I had to go through the same thing. I remember I was tithing on my neck. And then the pastor started teaching. He says, yeah, it's the first. It's the tenth. I'm like, God, okay. Now, I just got saved. You know, that's my growth. You know, that's a little bit more. It probably was like maybe $40, maybe $50. But to me, that was a lot of money. You know, and that's what the enemy heals. So he say, now, you were doing that. Now, what are you talking about growth? Now, you know you can't do that. It's already tight in your house right now. And you're talking about, I'm talking about living by kingdom principles to have a blessed church and a blessed house in your life. So he releases this. This is an act of obedience and faith that he releases to God. Now, how much are you dealing with now? He's got $800. His gross was $1,000. Uncle Sam didn't trust him, so he took his out first. God says, I'm going to see what you're going to do. Will you worship me? Do you trust me to be your source and your provider? So God says, if you bless me and make sure that my house is taken care of, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour out a blessing. So that $800 is going to be multiplied sevenfold sometime because of your obedience and your faith towards me and your worship towards me. Sometimes we are walking under curse because we are trying to hold on to that little bit. And God says, no, I can't bless you. I do love you. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you don't. But he said, I can't bless you. I can't give you the kind of financial blessing I want to give you. That's why I'm teaching this now. I would say not afraid, but just a little leery how people going to receive. And God had to keep dealing with me and finally chastise me and say, you got to teach the whole council.
Yes.
What you going to do? Are you worrying about you or are you worrying about people being blessed? And I'm telling you, I've done this for 33 years. God has blessed my life. Now, I'm not saying that, you're going to get this big house, you're going to get this car. That's not what this is about. This is about you having a blessed life, you having joy, you having peace. And yes, he will bless you financially. But also, it's about making sure that the kingdom's agenda is being funded. That when we say, you know what, you know, we need this. And we're trying to help people in Africa or we want to go down, in the community and we want to give away X amount of whatever that we can all come together and say, hey, got it right here. Or we've got such amount in the storehouse that we can pull it from out of there and we're not walking around like, oh, God, what are we going to do? Hey, guys, can we call a fast? And we got to get on our face and we got to see if somebody going to just give something. Loose those pocketbooks now in the name of Jesus. God, could you just... That ain't biblical. We're supposed to all be together giving. All be together giving. Can I give you one last scripture? Could you stick with me one? I got, this is a good one. Go to Exodus and then I'm closing. Give me that. I promise you I'm closing. Go to Exodus chapter 35. Holy Ghost just dropped that in my spirit. Let me just go there. Go there right quick. And then that's it. I'm finished. And we will take up. And I promise you, this is not some prelude to taking up the offering that I'm going to beg you and tell you. I'm not going to do that. So this is not a prelude to that. I just want you, Exodus chapter, look at chapter 35. I want you to see something here. And then we'll take up the offering and we'll announcements and benediction and we'll get you out of here. Thank you for your patience. Exodus chapter 35, if you look at verse 4, God wants the children of Israel to build the tabernacle and furnish the tabernacle, shall I say that? Okay? So he speaks to Moses, who is the chief shepherd of the people of God. And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded. He's saying, this is what God is telling me to tell you. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. Notice that. I'm going to touch this a little bit next week, too. Of a willing heart means somebody who is submitted to biblical principles. Of a willing heart, let him bring it. An offering unto the Lord, gold and silver and brass. He said, this is what the house of the Lord needs. And blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skin, dyed red and badger skin and shittim wood and oil for the light and spices for the anointing oil and for the sweet incense and onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. And every wise hearted among you shall come and make all that the Lord commanded. Notice what he said. Moses is saying, this is what the Lord is saying I need you to bring for the house of the Lord. Okay, let's see the response of the congregation. In verse 20 of Exodus 35. And all the congregation of the children of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, every one whose heart stirred him up. Everyone whose heart did what? Stirred him up. In other words, the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And everyone whose spirit made him willing. Not somebody coercing you, but the Holy Spirit speaking to you saying, this is what I want you to do. This is the voice of the Lord. Okay? And they brought, they brought the Lord's offering to the work, to the work of the tabernacle. If it's something being asked, it should be going to a work. It should be going to something that's going on in the house of God. To the work of the tabernacle of the congregation for all his service and for the holy garments. Because the high priest at that time, too, they were trying to make the high priest's garment, his ephod, and they had to put stones in there. So they were responsible for bringing those things. They couldn't bring what they didn't have. So God knew they had it, so he asked them to bring it. Verse 22, and they came, both men and women, as many as were, here we go again, willing-hearted. Let me tell you something. If you don't have a willing spirit, don't bring it, because God don't want that. He ain't going to bless that. He loves a cheerful giver. Keep your money if you're going to come up here with an attitude. Take it. God said, go back, take that. I ain't going to bless that. It's got to be the right spirit. He says, a willing heart, and brought bracelets and earrings and rings and tablets, all jewelry of gold, and every man that offered, offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And then verse 29, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman whose heart made them willing. We keep hearing that word willing. The Holy Spirit will tug on your heart and tell you, if you are a giver, you're going to have a willing heart. You're going to willingly want to give to the work of the Lord. Willing to bring all manner of work which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hands of Moses. Let's look at Acts, Exodus chapter 36. Look at verse 3 through 7. And they received of Moses all the offerings which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. That's where we get free will offerings. It's got to be free will. Nobody should coerce you. Nobody should be trying to intimidate you. You should willingly, freely say, God, I want to bless you. I want to bless this work. I want to help too, Lord. You blessed me. Here we go. And all the wise men that wrought the work of the sanctuary came every man from his works which they made. And they, oh God, listen to this. And they spake unto Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough. Did y'all get that? You get that? It's right here in verse 5. The workers said, those that take up the officials that take up the offerings. They said, Pastor, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord has commanded. And Moses gave commandment, and he caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff that they had was sufficient for all the work for it and too much. Somebody need to say amen. That's the way God wants this house to be, that we have more than enough. If you give and I give and she gives and he gives, you may not be able to give what I give and I may not be able to give what you give, but just give what the Holy Spirit tells you to give and we will have more than enough. And somebody need to say amen. And that is not designed to coerce you. That is designed to give you biblical foundation on how we are to operate in the house of God. And it's a travesty when we got to walk around. The world's out there blessed and we trying to make it. We can't hardly pay our rent. But we the people of God. I come that you have my life and have it more abundantly. We don't look like we live an abundant life. You feel me? Now, everybody driving Mercedes, no, we're not saying that. But he said, I come that you might have life. And the house of God should be blessed. Amen. God should bless your house. Amen. And see, the word blessing is a relative term. It's not what you think. We've made blessing our, if you don't have the house on the hill, you ain't blessed. That ain't blessed. Blessed is, man, you got your right mind. Your children are okay. Everybody's healthy. Come on, somebody. Come on, you got food on your table. You can go in your refrigerator and feed yourself. You bless. You got wisdom and sound mind. You bless. Now, if you get more and more, bless God. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever God gives you more, you are responsible for blessing somebody's life. You are blessed to be a blessing. God has no problem with prosperity. There's a problem when you hoard it and you do not bless others with that. Because there's a responsibility that comes along with being blessed.
Amen.
And I'm going to stop it. I got to get off this horse. Amen. Did this help anybody? Come on, let's stand. Let's pray.